The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the 10th chapter. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them on ahead of him, two by two, into every town and place where he himself was about to go. And he said to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go your way. Behold, I am sending you out as lambs in the midst of wolves. Carry no money bag, no knapsack, no sandals, and greet no one on the road. Whatever house you enter, first say, 'Peace be to this house.' And if a son of peace is there, your peace will rest upon you. But if not, it will return to you and remain in the same house, eating and drinking what they provide, for the laborer deserves his wages. Do not go from house to house. Whenever you enter a town and they receive you, eat what is set before you. Heal the sick in it and say to them, 'The kingdom of God has come near to you.' But whenever you enter a town and they do not receive you, go into its streets and say, 'Even the dust of your town that clings to our feet, we wipe off against you. Nevertheless, know this, that the kingdom of God has come near. I tell you, it will be more bearable on that day of Sodom than for that town. Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it will be more bearable in the judgment for Tyre and Sidon than for you. And you, Capernaum, will you be exalted to heaven? You shall be brought down to Hades. The one who hears you hears me. The one who rejects you rejects me. And the one who rejects me rejects him who sent me." The 72 returned with joy, saying, "Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name." And he said to them, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over the power of the enemy, and nothing shall hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." Please be seated. In the name of Jesus, amen. Married for 5 years, this lifelong Lutheran was beginning to see more and more how different she looked at everything in the world from her husband. They even had a totally different perspective of their life together. And so she prayed for her unbelieving husband, trusting in the Lord. Raising 3 kids, the young Christian couple wanted to do a better job at saying prayers with their kids, doing devotions together, and even making it to church. But there were so many things going on in their life, they felt overwhelmed and out of control, and it was hard for them to manage what was going on. And what they needed to do was say a prayer. She loved her job, but as she worked with her colleagues, she began to see how different she was from the rest of them, how she wouldn't participate in their gossip and their slander, how she wouldn't laugh at their jokes. She just felt weird. And yet it was her job, and she had to do it. And so she prayed for her friends. Actually, some of them she liked quite a lot. Widowed for 10 years, Mrs. Schmidt prayed for her 8 grandkids and 3 great-grandkids, almost alarmed on a daily basis of what all of her family was facing and going through, knowing from her own experience how many dangers were there, threatening them, tempting them. And so she prayed like the matriarch of a family learns to pray. We, like all of these, need all the time the help of Jesus in our lives. And as we live out our lives as Christians, that becomes more and more realized. Amen? Amen? We realize that relying on ourselves doesn't work as well as relying on the Lord. Not only that, but we do this because we're among those who celebrate Jesus, celebrate what he did for us that only he could do, rescuing us from what only he could rescue us from, and then filling us with his Spirit so that we can have a confidence in the midst of the challenging days to just trust the Lord and keep on celebrating him, even when there are times in our lives when it's hard to celebrate anything else. We know that because of Jesus, we who were once wolves were turned into lambs and placed underneath his care, now and forever. Not that this is an easy life. In fact, in our Lutheran theology, we call it the theology of the cross. And no one likes the theology of the cross, but we understand that as Christians, we now are in a different world than the unbelieving world. That we now live a different kind of life than those who do not have the Holy Spirit within them. We know that we will face challenges. It's the theology of the cross, meaning we will all suffer as believers. Now, to be sure, some of the things that you and I suffer through are our own fault. We have no one else to blame. It was our own sinful activity. It was our own failure to heed and discern and to walk close with Jesus. But the devil's in the details with all that he wants to do in this world to sway us to take and follow him in his lies. But then there's the unbelieving world of wolves that don't want to follow God's will and ways, that want to accuse and condemn, that want to do anything they want to do. And we suffer because of that as part of our relationship with the Lord. Not a very easy life. Live it anyway. It's the life that is different than the way of the world. And it's a life marked by the cross. Even more so, Jesus wants us to understand this. And so he lays it out plainly. I mean, it's a challenging gospel reading to hear all the issues we're going to face, the rejection, some of the ways that we might be consumed by those who care little about Jesus. And yet we live that life, knowing that we have been rescued by Jesus. And so we live not only in concern for ourselves and one another, but the Lord wants us to look at those who are not a part of his family and pray that they become part of God's family. It's an interesting command. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Risky business. To risk sharing with others what it means to be forgiven. There are plenty of people that don't think they've done anything wrong and need to apologize. There are plenty of people who are so lost in the wills and ways of the devil that they will attack and persecute. And yet, we need to pray that there will be those who will be willing to share that good news that changes lives, that turns wolves into lambs. But having said that, we can pray that God raises people to do mission work. Still, every one of us here has his and her own mission field. Your mission field may be as close as your home. It may be your extended family, those you're related to. It may be your friends. It may be the people in your neighborhood who do not know what it means to be forgiven. And even in those places, we can risk and be hurt by trying our best to share the way of the Lord. And so, take the risk anyway. Share what God has done. Celebrate Jesus and his love. And when you get the pushback and it gets to be a little intense, keep in mind that's where the Lord is training us. I mean, let's read this together. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and the unjust. So we are to love. We are to love our enemies. We are to love those who persecute us. And that's not an easy thing to do. And yet, when you find yourself being pressed by people in your home or in your family or your neighbors or friends, and you want to strike out, love. And that's not an easy thing to do. It's easier to preach this than it is to practice this for every one of us. Amen? And yet it's in this very place when we're being pressed that we have to say, Lord, you have forgiven me in so many ways. I have crucified you. I have cared little about my life of sin and rebellion. And yet, Lord, I know that you love me and I want to love as you have loved me, so teach me how to love. Not that we ever master it, because it still hurts. It still makes a little sense. And yet, love anyway. This is the way we celebrate Jesus, looking to and trusting in him. And we have to be careful with how we look at the people around us as well. Paul says it this way in Ephesians chapter 6, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. You know, be strong in the Lord. Put on the armor of God, this Roman picture of a soldier wearing all these things. And yet it's all about trusting in the Lord. It's all about having the word close so that we test what we hear and see and struggle with on the basis of God's word. Paul goes on, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil and in the heavenly places. You know, the people that can hurt us, the people that want to trip us up, they need to be the objects of our love. We need to share the gospel with them because there's more going on that's holding them hostage, and there's more at stake. Our battle's not against flesh and blood. We need to keep sharing and proclaiming what God has done through his son. That's how people become free. When they realize what it means to be a sinner saved by God's grace. What it means to be loved. And in that way, lives can be changed. You know, the temptation in all of this is to fail to understand what's happening in our culture right now. I mean, we do pray for places like our brothers and sisters in Iraq and Afghanistan and Pakistan, and maybe even our Christian brothers and sisters in the Ukraine as we think about what's happening with the war there. But one of the most heated places of Christian persecution is Nigeria, and you never hear anything about it. I mean, like 80% of Christian martyrdom is happening right now in Nigeria. And to be sure, even in our own culture, we are certainly facing hostility as Christians. And it could be that persecution will come. Live and love anyway. That's the way we celebrate Jesus, living with him, thankful for his grace and his love, and sharing what he has done. You know, as you share, trust God, not the outcome. It's so tempting for us to keep score. I mean, we've been trained to keep score in all kinds of ways in our lives. We're tempted to keep score in other people's lives as well. But trust God, not the outcome. Celebrate Jesus and see what God will do. It could be that the people you share the gospel with today will never tell you the difference it makes. Maybe they will move. Maybe down the road someday, they'll let you know how different their life had been because of what you did. You know, God calls us to daily sowing and bids we trust him for the growing. Trust God, not the outcome. And be careful in how you keep score of your life as well as the lives of others. It's interesting, later on in Luke's gospel, Luke gives us a picture of what Jesus is dealing with the disciples. And he says this to them. He says, so you also, when you have done all that you were commanded, say, we are unworthy servants. We have only done what was our duty. In other words, Jesus says, don't make it a point of keeping score. In fact, just say, when you've done everything, I'm unworthy, I'm an unprofitable servant, I've only done what you've commanded. It's not easy for us to say that kind of a prayer to the Lord. And yet, the Lord wants us to understand that it's not about our performance. It's about what he has done that has changed our lives. And we simply share what he has done, celebrating him, leaving the outcome to God. And yet, our Savior does keep score in his own way. Look at how the disciples come back. And they're so amazed at their ministry. Of course, keep in mind, they are being trained by Jesus to go out and make a difference. They're at the seminary called Jesus. And so they're going about doing what he's trained them to do. And we know in church tradition how their lives ended up not so well. And yet they did not think of their own lives. They just did what God would have them do. But it's interesting here. They come back with joy, and Jesus says to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Talk about fireworks. Jesus saw how people were being rescued and delivered from their own condition and the captivity of the devil, and Jesus saw it. The disciples are just amazed that they have this authority. So he goes on, behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall hurt you. What a promise. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you. In other words, don't rejoice in your ministry and your abilities and what you're able to do, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. There's only one way, your name and my name is in heaven, and that's because of what Christ has done for us and our faith in what he has done that we could never do. That's what we rejoice in, the fact that Jesus worked our rescue and made us a part of the kingdom of God. Jesus loved to talk about the kingdom of God. Even more so, he loved to welcome us into the kingdom of God. And now as we celebrate Jesus, tell others what Christ has done to save sinners, people are being welcomed into the kingdom of God. Don't keep score. Trust God, not the outcome. And celebrate Jesus. As the Apostle Paul said in our Galatians reading, he said, He said, so then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially those who are of the household of God. Let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. I read this to you last Sunday, and I'm going to read it to you again. It's called God Says. I say, it's impossible. God says, for you, but not for me. I'm in a hurry, I say. God says, wait for me. I'm tired. God says, I will give you rest. I'm struggling to love. God says, I love to love you. I can't go on. God says, my grace is sufficient. I don't know what to do. God says, I am the way and will show you. I can't do it. God says, you can do all things through me. I'm not able. God says, I am. If you want to have these Bible passages that go with this, just email me or text me, and I can get them to you. I'm afraid. God says, fear not, I give you a spirit of power and self-control. It's not worth it. God says, it will be. I'm frustrated. God says, cast all your anxiety on me. I can't forgive myself. God says, I already have. I feel alone in my struggles. God says, I will never leave you or forsake you. My faith is failing. God says, I'll perfect your faith by my grace. And I say, amen. Celebrate Jesus, brothers and sisters in Christ. Celebrate him. And may the peace of God that goes beyond all that we understand, may that peace from God guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.